Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no education value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's the White Riot Show. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So, turn up the volume, clean the shit out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
That's right. It's the White Riot Show coming to you earlier in the week, making up for not having a show last week. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And Judo Larry M, you know, a lot of people on Twitter that follow us always wondering, where'd you guys go? What happened last weekend? We had a little bit of a scheduling conflict. We couldn't make it to the studio last Thursday night like we usually do, but making arrangements to be in our Brooklyn studios tonight, Tuesday night, to have this podcast ready for Wednesday morning.
Yes, this is the post-April Fool's show. So.
Yeah. Should we do two shows this week, do you think?
I think the fans deserve that.
They deserve that?
That's if you haven't been listening to the riotous clips, to keep yourself
unbelievable.
Fresh,
yes.
And current.
Fantastic. And you know, let's go into our favorite part of the show, which is the
pimping
part of the show. You're listening to the White Riot. We said that already, but you could find us on whiteriotshow.com. That is the base of operations. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, player.fm. Always search for the White Riot Show on any of those fantastic platforms. Also go to twitter.com/whiteriotshow, facebook.com/whiteriotshow, where you can find lots of commentary. Judo Lariam, you know we love antagonizing people on Twitter. My favorite new target, Rachel Maddow.
She must love you.
She does. I'm sure she does. Also picking up a lot of the conservative followers that have a sense of humor. Over 10,000 followers now for the White Riot Show on Twitter.
Wow.
We even got some folk singer that is that Barack Obama follows. And now this guy follows us. Therefore, by the transitive theory of Twitter, Barack Obama follows the White Riot Show.
That's right.
Can I say that?
Yeah,
why not?
That's a beautiful thing. Just like if you saw that clip of Obama taking foul shots the other day.
Oh, yeah.
He made 2 out of 11.
I thought it was 2 out of 22.
Oh, was it 2 out of 22?
He was horrible no matter what it was. But yeah, definitely. So for everyone out there, follow us on Twitter. Go to White Riot Show on Twitter. You can follow us there. Follow us on Facebook if that's your cup of tea. Also, don't forget, go to youtube.com/White Riot Show. That is the exclusive home of the riotous clips, those little 3-4 minute segments, Judo Larry M, representing our best bits. Definitely funny, definitely riotous, and definitely not safe for work.
That's it. And those little, what are they called, minuets?
No, they're not. They're called riotous clips.
Little riotous clips.
Yes, you love them. I know you
do. Yes, I did. You stepped on my joke. I wanted to touch. I was going to say he's a better basketball player than president.
Oh, there you go. Sorry, I didn't mean
to. And don't think we forgot. We will be updating you on the big trip to the Creation Museum.
The Creationist Museum still on tap for some time in 2013, hopefully going down to edumacate the Rubes and other various Christians in the South.
And we will get a picture of Big Fat John in the saddle on the Stegosaurus.
Right.
Because everybody knows that is truth.
Yes.
Just like Dino.
Yes.
on the Flintstones.
The Earth is only 6,000. Was it 6,000 years?
Four or six.
Yeah, whatever.
It's in that range.
Right.
I don't know. It seems older.
Yeah, I know.
It seems old.
Yeah, so get ready for us. Where is it, Kentucky?
Yeah, it's Kentucky.
All right, get ready, Kentucky. The White Riot Show will be heading to your state to the Creationist Museum. Maybe we can meet with Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, while we're down there.
I like him.
Yeah.
I
do a little something.
Yeah, he's got an attitude. And now he's pissing off the Republicans.
So yes, everything's fantastic about Rand Paul. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But Judah Lariam, let's lead off with the top story, everything that's on everyone's mind, this Supreme Court challenge to the Defense of Marriage Act. Also, the second thing that's up there is Proposition 8, the constitutionality of Proposition 8 in California banning same-sex marriage. Judo Larry M., you know, what do you think? Tide turning?
Actually, I do. I think the people who are against it, I think they're kind of dragging their feet against the march of time here. You know what it is? The polls that I don't really pay too much attention to polls, but if I was going to,
Yeah.
Then here's what it really comes down to. What they're really showing is that older people,
right,
by and large, you know, maybe white and conservative, are against.
Yeah.
And younger people are really in favor. They found out, yeah, I saw one thing, I actually got this from Fox, that among young evangelicals,
right,
support for gay marriage is over 60%.
Right.
And you would think that, you know, evangelical,
right,
this would be a non-starter.
Right.
And they've got over 60% support.
Yeah,
so
the only thing I would maybe
it's generational.
Challenge you a little bit, I don't think it's just older white people that are against gay marriage, because I know the black community, the older black community is very much against gay marriage. They're very much against homosexuality.
Yeah, but I don't care about them.
No. Fair enough. Hallelujah. But, so, how do you think the Supreme Court's going to rule? I mean, I can't get a read on them. I mean, obviously, someone like Justice Scalia seems to be leaning against saying that there's a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. Obviously, the liberal judges are pro same-sex marriage. How do you think? First of all, do you think it'll be a tight decision one way or another?
It's got to be tight.
Oh,
you bitch!
Oh, it's the attraction of gayness. No, no. But seriously, what do you think? Do you think it's going to be one of those 5-4 decisions? Do you,
yes,
think they're just going to kick it back to the state? Do you think they'll just kick it back to, hey, whatever the state,
no,
voted, or what?
No, they I think they already did their punting for the year with, they did the Obamacare.
Yeah. Right.
No, I don't think so, but I think you actually nailed it. I think it's going to be just a simple 5-4. But I'm actually
5-4 for,
I actually,
for what?
I had this funny feeling that they're going to come out against.
You striking, because, down, or
yeah,
supporting DOMA?
No, I think against, because you know what happened?
What do you mean? So when you say against, what do you mean?
Against gay rights, against the right to get married.
Okay, so in support of DOMA.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That's effectively
in support. Right. Okay.
Okay. I just have this feeling that there's this sense of, I mean, even despite how they may feel about it, but I think the sense of that you're changing the country so much and,
right,
and radically, and the decision being made by 9 people in robes in D.C. Mm-hmm. and not by the people.
One way or another.
Yeah, because you do have individual, I think some like 30 or 33 states have banned,
right,
gay marriage. Or,
right.
So I don't think, I think they're going to find a way to, not punt it, but I just think that I get the feeling that it'll be against it, and that they're going to want it to find something that it becomes more gradual,
right, right,
and maybe easier for people to accept.
Right. Now, you're pro-gay marriage, right?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Yeah, you support it 100%.
Well,
no problems with it at all.
I asked you, and you said no, because you're a bitch.
Sorry. No, I didn't say that. That you'll be, yeah, I get it. Oh, whoa, you asked for my hand in marriage.
Whoa, slowing the uptake.
I am. I'm sorry. Did you ask for my hand in marriage or my cock in marriage?
Just the cock.
Okay, fair enough.
That I'm going to do it with your hand.
That's true. Well, but I'm sure people could get creative
same,
with that.
Same thing the doctor did to my ass.
That's right. You know what it is with me? And I always say this, and you know, you always get this tour. I get this shit from Rachel Maddow on Twitter and some other folks on Twitter. Listen, here's my position. In general, as a libertarian, I think if government were out of the marriage business, we wouldn't have these issues to begin with. Let, you know, especially the federal government. I might see an argument for having local state governments weigh in one way or another. But here's my thing. First of all, anyone who's saying that they're for marriage equality, you know, let's cut the bullshit. Again, it's one of those false terms, Judah Lariam.
Well, actually, that I agree with. I understand that homosexuals look at accomplishing being married,
right,
and having the benefits and the rights,
right,
that go with it as being equal with,
right,
heterosexuals. But I think what has to happen is you have to understand that if you mention libertarian, all right, my ears start to perk up. As a,
right,
libertarian, I think your point of view should simply be, if two consenting adults
want
to do this,
right,
well, there you go.
Right. Yeah.
So,
but here's the thing. When you say marriage equality, and this is where I'm a little surprised that the legal arguments don't go, is, listen, marriage was equal opportunity for everyone. In other words, any person of any sexual orientation could marry any person of any sexual orientation of the opposite sex. In that sense, marriage was equal. They weren't discriminating. In other words, they didn't say a homosexual man could not marry a straight woman or a homosexual woman.
Right.
Right. To me, that's where the law itself becomes unequal, I should say. So in that sense, marriage equality already existed. Now, because your personal choice as a gay person says, I don't want to marry someone of the opposite sex for whatever reason.
Oh.
You know, to me, that's not marriage equality, and that's not something for the courts to decide.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the first thing. But even if we get past that, I don't think it should be something from the federal government to decide. Because again, there is nothing that, again, marriage, heterosexual marriage, traditional marriage makes things, some things very convenient, right? So like me and my wife are married. The fact that we're married automatically says that we're each other's survivors, that, you know, in terms of rights and in terms of property rights and all that sort of stuff, in terms of raising children. Any of that stuff, even though it's slightly less convenient, can be accomplished by two same-sex members.
Sure.
Right? You could go to a lawyer, draw up a contract that says, okay, we're living together, we're cohabitating, blah, blah, blah. Right? So in that sense, most of that stuff can be accomplished. And if it couldn't be accomplished 20 years ago, it could certainly be accomplished today. I think the free market has already decided whether companies give same-sex partners benefits. For the most part, they do.
Yeah.
Okay? Very few, like, Christian-owned, like, Chick-fil-A or whatever may have different policies. But by and large, the free market has moved us to the position where companies have decided.
Which I'm fine with.
I am, too. Okay? Yeah. Part of this agenda, though, of marriage equality, and what am I doing, Judo Larry M?
You're doing faggy air quotes.
Faggy air quotes. There you go, in honor of marriage equality. Part of the problem here is not just the legal aspect. I think the homosexual lobby wants societal acceptance and society's blessing in saying that this marriage is okay.
Oh, sure they do.
And that's the part that I object to. Like, from my personal point of view, two guys, two chicks want to get married? Go get married. I don't give a fuck. However, don't now try to bully me or use the law to bully me into saying that this is a normal practice. It's not. It's not normal. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Normal,
it's not typical.
In the sense that, oh, okay.
It's not typical. It's not normal. It's in the minority. So even if we approved, you know, like
but
the same.
Is that important that it's in the minority?
Important in terms of what?
Well, I don't know. What do you mean by that?
So
you pointed out
in
that.
Terms
it's
of
in
acceptance.
Well.
You know, in terms of legal, yes. Like, look. I'll use hyperbole, right? I reserve the legal right to scrub my dick with a Brillo pad and make it bleed. And everyone around me will go, that's fucking stupid.
Right.
I would never do that, and I'm never going to advocate, and I'll never tell you that that's a good thing to do.
Right.
But you have the legal right to do it.
Yeah.
I kind of view gay marriage the same way. Do you understand what I'm saying?
In other words, scrubbing with
yeah,
balls.
Like scrubbing your dick with a Brillo pad and pouring vinegar over it. No. What I'm trying to get at is it's something that I don't care for. I've said it before. If my son were to walk up to me and tell me he's marrying another dude, I'd be upset. I would try to talk him out of it. I might physically try to restrain him from doing whatever. Even though everyone has, I would agree, the right to participate in it. And I think that's the distinction. And people say, well, you know, that might be a slippery slope argument. Isn't that kind of stupid?
Well,
I disagree. You and I are old enough to remember the 70s, you know, right after Stonewall, right here in Greenwich Village in New York and everything, right? What was the first thing that homosexual advocates, gay advocates said at the time? We just want people to leave us alone to live our lives the way we want. It's not like we want to get married.
Well, okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that was at a time. I
understand.
That's
baby steps.
You know,
baby steps.
That was just the very beginning of even coming out.
Right.
And not having to worry about being beaten. And look,
absolutely.
For the record, I grew up in the village. And
did you suck cock in the village?
Well, there's no. Look, I was young. I needed the money.
Let's just put it that way.
Yo. But, and I can tell you right now. And I think one of the things that kind of sensitized me to it is I used to hear stories about like guys who were gay just getting beat up.
Yeah, fag bashing.
And like the police didn't care. The police didn't care.
No, of course not.
These were things that
I agree.
These are things that they didn't even bother to look into.
Absolutely horrible.
And, you know, look, nobody should really worry that like I'm coming out of a bar or I'm coming out of my apartment and some assholes from like Long Island drove in and they're going to kick my ass.
Absolutely. I agree.
Because they think I'm gay.
Yes.
And you do realize, along with that, that's unacceptable. It's not like every guy they attacked was actually gay. Sometimes they went and they beat up like some guy in the village. I remember one time they beat up some guy and he turned out he was like a straight guy.
Right.
Not that that makes it any worse or bad, but the idea is you're talking about morons driving around and beating people and being violent. But you know what it is? Look, I've lived here and I just don't see what the big deal is. Like, I understand this really gets some people going.
Right.
Like our beloved Georgia Senator Saxby Chambliss.
Yes, yes.
Who, when asked about this.
What did he have to say?
Well, I'm not one, so I'm not going to marry one. And that's
listen, what's wrong with that line of thinking?
What's wrong with it?
Yeah.
It's like the Taliban without the violence.
Look, the man doesn't take it in the ass, and he doesn't want to support it. What's wrong with that?
No, he's saying publicly he doesn't take it in the
ass. Allegedly.
You know, publicly. Allegedly. I don't have a doctor fingering my asshole, dude.
But that's the difference. Seriously, that's where I think there's a distinction to be made. Like I've always said, look, you want to be gay, and yes, I still think it's a choice. I know you don't. But, you know, you're gay or you want to be gay, whatever the case biologically is, fair enough. But let's not pretend like this is something that we all have to pretend is either virtuous or good or whatever. There's people who are still going to think it's wrong. And it's their right to think it's wrong. And it's their right not to have that invaded upon them by the law. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But
and if you say, well, why do you have heterosexual imagery hoisted on you by the law or whatever? You know what? I'm sorry. You just have to go back and say, for the overwhelming majority of people on this planet, being straight is the normal path. It's the typical path, right?
Sure.
So while I defend the right of someone to be atypical from that situation, so you want to be gay, fine. Please don't try to hoist on me that what your choice is normal, typical, or should be accepted as normal and typical among the majority.
If you want to be against it or you object to it,
absolutely,
you should be allowed to. And it doesn't necessarily
without being bullied,
it doesn't necessarily mean you're a bigot.
Right.
It just means that you really just think that there's something wrong with it, and you just don't want to give your blessing to it.
Right.
Even though you talk more about cock than anybody I know.
Well, maybe that's why I'm doing it.
And you turned me down, bitch. So, at any rate.
But that's how I feel about a lot of different things. You know, that like just be, so there's a difference between tolerance and acceptance. Tolerance means I put up with you making your choice, which I think everyone should do. Like your thing about the fag bashing, absolutely. Even then, I didn't agree with it because you're violating someone's civil rights. That's a physical assault. You know what I mean? You're scaring, you're intimidating. That's wrong. However, if someone comes to me and says, oh, don't you think it's just as normal, just as nice for a kid to have two male parents? No, I don't. Sorry. I don't. And even though the kid is loved and raised and properly, fine. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I don't view it as being normal. So leave me alone. Why am I being... Because I honestly think that once gay marriage is, for lack of a better term, nationalized or approved on the federal level or guaranteed on the federal level, 25 to 30 years after that, any religion that's left in this country is going to be forced to accept gay marriage.
No. That's a likely development.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And again, I see that that's a big problem down the road. Because why should, one way or another, why should the government tell any private, like the Boy Scouts are going through this right now.
Yeah.
You know, where they're being pressured to accept gay scouts and gay scout leaders.
Yeah.
Why? It's a private organization. They don't take money from you. Why are you now forcing them to toe the line with you?
Yeah.
They're not violating civil rights, and they're not attacking anyone. They're not preaching hatred. They're not instigating violence.
I think their argument would simply be that they are discriminating against a class of people. They are saying, well, here are these homosexuals. We're not taking them.
Right, but that's okay, though.
Yeah. No, actually,
for a private organization.
For a private organization, I actually agree with you.
Yeah.
That, I'm okay with that. But I have to admit that just for myself personally, I don't get the... You know, being uncomfortable with, like, I work with some guys who definitely would be gay.
Right.
I used to work with a woman in my security business who was a lesbian. Like, I don't think about it. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, I don't, I realize that for people.
Well, lesbians typically are hot, though.
No. That's not enough. Some of them are, no, excuse me, Big Fat John.
Yes.
You know, some of them are bull dykes and kick both our asses. You couldn't be more wrong. I think you're using like porn, like as like a standard.
I always use porn as my standard.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, there may be a slight disconnect with reality. Some of them like wear like very dull suits and glasses and don't wear makeup and can beat you up if they
really.
Really? Have you ever seen the crowd coming out of a WNBA game?
Oh, shit.
It's a combination of families with their little girls because they want them to have positive female role models.
Lesbians in training.
And then there's lesbians. Then there's a bunch of lesbians who just want to see hard body chicks run up and down and sweat. And they will kick your ass. Let me tell you, some of them wearing leather. Some of them are like spikes in their ears. I mean,
but do you agree? Like, even if you have this acceptance, and now I hear that I was reading that there's a rift in the gay community between gays who have fought for marriage equality, marriage rights, and what they feel are the Johnny Come Latelys, the transgender version.
Oh, transgender.
who are trying to horn in on their action.
Well, they figured this is their opportunity.
Right.
So, look, I understand that, look, to me, what two consenting adults are is just none of my business.
Right.
And it's never going to be.
Right.
And if it's none of my business, it's certainly none of the government's business.
Absolutely.
And it's actually no religious institution's business. They can make a standard for themselves, but
right.
I don't think they should be allowed to impose their
right.
way on people.
Agreed.
Any more than a government.
Fair enough.
Any more than a neighbor who hates your guts.
Fair enough.
Like, you always talk about government coercion.
Yes.
See, I always like to think coercion does it. I understand, but maybe it's the same thing. Maybe it's splitting hairs, but I always deal with interference. Like, I don't want government interfering with my life. I don't want them interfering with the economy. I don't want them interfering anything in my life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Right.
I certainly don't want it from religion, because I have very little respect right. for religion. And I don't even like it when people do it.
Right.
You know, when they find out something you're doing or whatever, and they try to interfere or stop you. Like, I'm kind of like anti-nosy.
You just want to be left alone.
Well, yes, but I don't want it to sound like that, because then that sounds like you're an isolated.
Yeah.
You're isolated introvert, or say that's not what this is. I'm just talking about, you look at the individual and you say, look, this is a free country, you have your life, liberty, pursuit
right.
of happiness, go get it, go pursue it. That's why whenever, like, when I talk with Democrats,
Amen.
That they always talk about, like, their, and you can tell, like, their resentment of
right.
people who are doing well,
right?
And like, I don't resent them. Like, I'm not rich,
right?
Look, if you went out in life and you became Bill Gates, good for you,
right?
You know, so like, but like, I look at this as almost the same thing. You want to be gay, be gay. You want to
yeah.
sleep with guys, you sleep with guys. You want to
right.
sleep with chicks, you sleep. I mean, it's none of my business.
Right.
If this is what you define your life as and it makes you happy, go do it.
Fair enough. Now, let me ask you something, though. This is a great conversation, but I want to ask you something now. I agree with you.
Stop doing that.
Doing what?
Phil.
But here's the thing. Let me ask you this. We talked about transgenders before. All right. Now, I understand that someone wants, if the technology exists, like the $6 million man used to go from a chick to a dude to a chick, whatever.
Right. Yep.
Does society have the right to say, not to say you can't do it, but to say, you're a fucking freak?
Well,
do you understand what I'm saying? And
yeah.
maybe not those words, and I'm not even saying where they are, they're not. But here, like, I see these things, and at some point, I just look at people who argue for their rights and argue for their acceptance and argue that they're just like everyone else. And I just look at them and I go, really? You're just like everyone else?
Well, but they are, in the sense that they're just human beings. And that's what they mean by it. It's a very generic statement.
No, I understand.
It doesn't mean that they're really the same as
you. No, but what I meant,
like,
by that is that they're...
Your heterosexual is very confident in his ways and what he does. You have to realize, like, I'll, without naming names, I'll give you a perfect example. my mother has her hair done
right.
by this certain lady.
Yeah.
And this used to be a guy. Just so
the
you know.
The one who does the hair.
Yes.
Okay.
And she has now been a woman.
Yeah.
For like the past 50 years.
Now, they've had the physical change, or just dressing,
yeah,
or what is it?
The whole deal.
The hormone, the replacement.
Yeah. So, but here it is. First off, if you met this person, you would in no way would you be able to
okay.
tell that was a guy. And she is happy as can be.
Right.
In her life. She doesn't bother anybody.
Right.
She goes about her
right.
business. Used to be a guy.
Okay.
And now, and has been living this way forever, and is perfectly happy and harbors no ill will
right.
towards anybody. Why should I object to this?
God
why
bless.
Should I care?
But if you did object, is that wrong? That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you
yes.
should or you shouldn't.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
because there's no reason for it.
No, but I'm saying if I object,
there has to be something about it that's rubbing you the wrong way.
Because no, what I'm trying to
care.
Say is, and I'm arguing for the people to reserve the right for people to make judgment. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, someone who's transgender, someone who's gay or whatever, why do we, I understand and I concede and I wholly advocate for their right to be that way. Okay? What I do not understand is, why do I have to now say that's typical, that's normal, let's encourage it, let's
all
do
right.
it, whatever.
All right, but
that's my distinguishing line. In other words, literally, if I walked around, Judo Lariam, if I walked into a restaurant and said, like that old Blues Brothers thing, just toast, ma'am. You want jam or jelly on that?
Four whole chickens
and
some white toast.
Yeah, and some toast, right? It's their right to order the toast, dry. But now if everybody relaxes and goes, that guy's a little freaky. Why does he want two loaves of bread? And again, I'm making it simple and
I'm making it
funny.
I understand.
Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, when I make that choice to be a transgender, when I make a choice to chop off my dick or cut open a vagina on me or whatever the fuck happens in those surgeries, why do I think that exempts me from people's scorn? Again, not legally. I'm saying societally.
But what is the reason for feeling that way? Can you?
Whatever. Insecurity? Feeling that it's not part of nature? Feeling that it's just different from you and me? The same reason somebody likes chocolate and not vanilla and would argue one way or another, or likes Bud Light versus Corona or whatever.
Okay. Well, the reason for that is because whenever you have a class of people that feels discriminated against, being accepted is always going to be the number one priority. I mean, mm-hmm. if you look at the country sure. when we went through segregation,
sure.
there's always going to be to be accepted, not right. not just to be tolerated,
right.
and not just to say, oh, yeah, yeah, here are your rights, go the fuck away.
Right.
So there's always going to be a push to be accepted because they want to be accepted as first class, as citizens, like everybody else. Like, quite honestly, all the freedoms that you and I enjoy.
Right.
You know, so.
But if you're not denying those freedoms and you're just, do you understand what I'm saying?
No, you and I understand.
You and I have both.
That's not surprising, though, that people right. who feel oppressed or people who feel that they've been treated like, want to be accepted.
How long have you said you can't legislate morality?
Oh, no, you can't. I'm just explaining to you the psychology of it.
Right.
The psychological underpinnings of not being accepted
right.
is to want to be accepted. You know, because
true.
You feel that you're not then an equal citizen. It makes right. you feel less.
Right.
So, and that's why people like yourself or I might get, or Saxby James might get hostility. And Saxby, you sexy bitch.
So, anyway, Judo Larium. All right. That was a good discussion. Not necessarily rip-roariously funny, you know, if that's the right term, but certainly an interesting, and I think it's something worth having. I think people have to admit that, like, look, you know, the 2 to 5% of the population's gay or whatever it is, you know what, even though you have your rights, the other 90% whatever it is, you know, they will look down on you, they will look at you as different.
And yeah, but not all of them.
Not all of them, but I'm saying.
I don't.
I'm saying some might.
Yeah.
Some and you might. Can't legislate against that. The same way I can't legislate against people hating or liking people of another race. What I can legislate is that I don't infringe on their rights. That's the only thing I can legislate.
Well, the people who right now, despite what gays are going through, what sometimes Arabs feel they're going through, the people getting it the worst in this country right now, believe it or not, are actually just heavy people. There is so much talk about obesity and fat.
My feelings are hurt, Jubilarium.
Well, you're a fat fuck.
You're right, though, but that's a different type of...
That's a different type of...
But I see, I'm not even going to use the word discrimination, because then I'm making a victim out of myself.
No, not at all. But there is something to... What I think is a problem is the need to feel better or superior to other people just by putting them down. And I don't think that works.
Actually, I think it works perfectly well.
No, that doesn't work. You have to you have to do better in life. I mean, hating people.
No, but let me finish.
Saying I'm better than you.
You hit on something though. There is this concept that a sense of worth that differentiates you from everyone around you based on whatever, based on culture, race, religion, whatever, is a huge motivator for people. A huge motivator for people.
Yeah, but that's bad.
Is it bad in the sense that as long as you're not...
Because it lends itself to a lot of negative things. The ignorance, the hate, the violence. Look at the history of it.
No, but I'm saying if it's combined with non-infringement...
Well, that's a huge leap right there. It's involved, but it usually does involve infringement. It usually
sometimes
does involve oppression.
Sometimes it does. Well, you're absolutely right.
Look at the Middle East. It's purely religious.
Well, let's talk about the U.S., though. Okay. Let's talk about the U.S. because
let's talk about the eastern part of the U.S.
Okay. Yes, Kentucky, we're talking about you.
You beaners.
but my thing here is to say, for example, I remember, look, I'll be perfectly honest, growing up, my father would tell me, you know, you're Greek, you're not blank, and you're not blank. Don't act like a blank. You know what I mean? Whatever the race du jour that he was against that week was. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I understand.
And as a child, that motivated me to do better. It didn't motivate me to go crack any skulls.
Well, that's unusual.
You know, it didn't motivate me to join a gang. Sometimes it does.
Sometimes
you're absolutely right.
It does. But that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, but a lot of times...
Like I said, sometimes it could be used as a motivation.
Yeah, but I...
You're better than that.
I think, talking about the minority, I think that's a minority at the time. I usually when you get that kind of language...
Did you ever get that, like, growing up?
No.
Saying, like, hey, I'm Italian or whatever, and Italians don't act this way or they don't do certain things?
Yes, but not from my parents.
Oh, fair enough.
From, I mean, you have to realize also my parents now are an interracial couple.
Right,
I mean, obviously. Right. But... Yeah, there was some of that. There was.
Did it motivate you to violence?
No, but it did other people.
Right.
And even if it didn't, it still created ugliness in them.
Okay.
That shouldn't be, but it's not a good thing, John. It's not good just to hate people. It's stupid. It's one thing if you have a reason for doing it.
Right.
But if you dislike people just by virtue of the fact that they exist.
Well, I mean, no, and again, yeah. I'm not advocating that. I was advocating more of the, like, look, to speak of my own experience, it was like, hey, you're Greek. You bear the weight of centuries of learning on you. You bear centuries of civilization on you. You're the rightful heir to the Western civilization. You know, you would hear things like that growing up if you were Greek, you know, when you were in
school.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't be as average as everyone else.
Yeah.
You have this legacy to uphold.
What I can tell
you. It wasn't hating the others.
Well, no.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, that's good. But no, but that's a positive thing.
But it's still discrimination in the sense that it's saying you're Greek, they're not, in that sense.
Well, no. That's different because that's a very positive motivation. Now you're saying, look at the good from our tribe.
Right.
I refer to everyone as tribe because I find it makes it easier to accept them.
Right.
That's a positive thing because you're saying, well, look at all the good things in us.
Right.
Look at all the good things. You're not necessarily... See, the difference is that what other people, what most people do is, look at those fucking assholes over there. Look at them.
Right.
Scumbags and call them names. And
right.
It doesn't work. It trust me, it doesn't work.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because you remind me of a friend of ours who's also Italian. And someone was asking him about, like, someone who was Italian marrying a non-Italian. And they were giving him grief. They're like, how can your niece marry such and such and she's diluting the pool and all that, you know, all that nonsense? Yeah.
Wow.
And he said... I don't view it that way.
Yeah.
Why don't you view it that the Italian side is lifting up the other side?
Or diluting them.
Or diluting them, whichever way you want to view it. In other words, to your point, he took the positive aspect.
Right.
Which was like, if I do think there's differences,
okay,
I'm elevating someone else. And again,
I'll give you what I used to get when I was here.
Yeah.
And you'll know this if you've ever seen movies like A Bronx Tale.
Right.
Or something. Here's I grew up I grew up in the village, but there was a much more Italian neighborhood in the village than it is now.
Hold on. Let me get the appropriate music for this while you tell the story.
There better not be. Oh, very good.
All right, you're welcome. I figured get on the ball with that.
You're on a roll.
But continue your story.
So, but what I used to get is a lot of, and you see it in movies like that.
Yeah.
There's also a movie called China Girl, which is fantastic.
Right.
In the 1980s, it didn't do very well in the theaters, but A Bronx Tale is kind of an interesting thing because what you get is. Our neighborhood was almost like, you know, in the movie, for instance, who actually turned out now to be a criminal.
Right.
Lillo Brancato. He does this quick little speech. He goes, you know, the country was at war.
Right.
Vietnam. He goes, the Yankees were doing it. He goes, and my neighborhood stayed the same.
Right.
And my neighborhood was a lot like that.
The movie was set in the mid-60s, by the way.
Well, late 60s.
Late 60s, right.
But it's still the same thing. Because I grew up in my neighborhood in the early 70s. It was the same thing. Not in the Bronx. But the point is, it used to be like its own little world. And it was kind of sealed off.
Right.
And like the other problems that people had in the city, when the city was really going through, didn't happen to us.
Right.
Like the neighborhood that I grew up in, we still like, you know, people didn't lock their car doors. They didn't lock their doors. They left their windows open to get fresh air. Like other things that other people in the city couldn't do.
Right.
Couldn't do. And, you know, there was always talk of like, look what, you know, losers, they, you know, we don't have to live like that.
Right.
There was a lot of that. You know, there was a lot of that. And you'll see that in certain ethnic enclaves.
Sure.
And, you know, certainly I grew up in one of those.
Yeah, so did I.
It was like its own little safe world.
Right.
And it was protected by the people, you know. So, I mean, there was always a little bit of that, like, Jesus, like, you know. Because if you ever went over to, like, the East Side, Alphabet City, which was very Hispanic, or, you know, Chinatown, you know, look, honestly, it wasn't as clean as our neighborhood. They had more graffiti.
Right.
They had more of a mess, you know.
Yeah.
It looked somewhat disorganized.
Right.
And then you start really wondering about people.
But that's my point, right? So, you grew up, you said you never got into the violence, you never were motivated to go beat anybody up. But, like, I'm just listening to you talk, and it's nostalgic for you. Your neighborhood, largely an Italian neighborhood, and you're saying, well, look at it. Even though you maybe didn't even realize it, you're saying, well, look at their neighborhoods. Theirs were dirtier, had more graffiti. It was different. We could do things that they couldn't do.
Right.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that people in your neighborhood used all those things as motivation to keep the neighborhood that way.
Oh, yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, we're Italian. We're not Chinese. We're not like them. Yeah. Let's keep our neighborhood clean.
Right.
Let's not do graffiti. Let's not break bottles on the street.
Let's not have garbage cans.
And by the way, if you five guys see anybody come into the neighborhood that doesn't belong here, you encourage them to leave. Not necessarily beat them up or anything, but you say, like, look. Maybe stare at them until they leave. Whatever.
Right.
So what I'm trying to get at is, and I'm sure in Chinatown they were saying similar things about Little Italy.
Probably.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And none of that necessarily has to come to blows. It doesn't have to mean infringing anyone else's rights. Do you understand where I'm getting at?
Oh, yeah.
Like, in that sense, and it's very easy to do on an ethnic level, why can't we say that's the approach we could take either to homosexuality, transgender? In other words, you could have straight people say, you don't want to be gay, do you? You don't want to grow up and marry another guy. If you're a guy, I want to have grandchildren, whatever. And not necessarily infringe, but have a judgment on it.
Yeah.
The first thing we do as children is learn how to label. I know people hate saying you shouldn't label other people, but that's a developmental milestone for humans. We learn to label things. That's how we learn. That's how we move forward. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't mean that because you're label judging or whatever, it doesn't mean that you hate. It doesn't mean that you discriminate. It doesn't mean you beat up or attack or try to drive out of existence. But it's okay to say, I'm X, they're Y, and I'm a lot better than they are. Do you understand what I'm saying? It sounds like I'm being an asshole, but I'm really not trying to be one. Maybe I still am, Judalarium. I don't know. But that's what I'm trying to put across. Like, I could be pro the right to gay marriage while still saying gay marriage is wrong. Yeah.
Well,
that's not an inconsistent position, in my opinion.
Well, you're just saying what you said before. You're willing to tolerate it.
Right.
And you're intellectually, you're not going to accept it.
Right. Probably.
As the same as your marriage to
Absolutely.
Your wife.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know who else thinks that way? But we'll take some, actually give out some shit about that?
Not Saxby Chambliss.
No. He's just harmless. He just doesn't want to suck another
guy's
dick.
He's just a redneck who doesn't want any cock in his ass. Okay. Who are you referring to, Big Fat John?
Well, I know we have some tape of him here coming up, but we're talking about Mr. Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
The glorious leader of North Korea.
Yeah.
The beautiful one. Enlightened one.
Yes.
The guy who looks like he just delivered my dinner.
Yeah. He's really, among other things, he's threatening the U.S.
I know. And you would think that wouldn't happen after hanging out with Dennis Rodman. Asshole.
But Kim Jong-un, why would you be against, I don't get it. Why would you be willing to, like, nuke the U.S.?
Oh, yeah. But they have the armistice since the end of the Korean War in 1953, and he's backing out of it now. So you have to realize, because it's an armistice, it's just a ceasefire.
Right.
It's not a peace treaty.
Right.
So if one side backs out,
What was that?
Well, play the tape.
Okay, hold on. Okay, here we go. Kim Jong-un explaining why he's so willing to attack the U.S.
United States of South Korea. Military training very provocative. Homosexuality in the United States.
Wait a second. You got very excited when you started talking about homosexuality. You don't like the gayness?
That's not me. That's a tape.
Oh. Is that what it was?
You big fat idiot. That's supposed to be a tape.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get this back into character. Okay, hold on. Okay, let's go to the tape to find out why Kim Jong-un doesn't like homosexuality.
United States and South Korea, military training, very provocative. Homosexuality.
Oh, I think I hit the same tape, though, again.
It's the same thing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, play the button again.
President Obama, you order number 6. You get yourself.
That is the best tape ever.
Now you know what's going to happen. We're going to get, like, the anti-Asian defamation league.
That's okay. I was watching the movie Tombstone the other day, and the sheriff introduced himself as the leader of the nonpartisan anti-Chinese league. I don't know if that has to do with anything, but it just stuck in my head.
Yeah. What does it have to do with North Koreans? North Koreans and Chinese are not the same people, Judalarium.
You're so funny. Let's play the last tape.
United States, I go far with the tune. I go to the homosexual missiles. I go to the
Wow, he's really angry.
This is so fucking infantile.
Oh my God. Speaking of infantile, have you seen a good picture of this guy? I'm not kidding. He looks like he's 12 years old.
He looks like the 12-year-old kid that we all beat up in high school for one reason or another.
The best part about it, he's been putting on North Korean television all these photos of him like pointing with military leaders at the border, using binoculars, like all these. They said they photoshopped a picture of him like with like planes flying over his head.
Well, did you see the? And I don't know if it was a hoax or not, but did you see some of these supposed like films that they show in North Korea? Like they'll show a line of people and say, "This is capitalist America, like starving their people to death."
And they show pictures of like Night of the Living Dead. Like, they're so stupid. The whole country's living in 1953.
Yes.
Like if you look at the way they dress and the hair, they haven't moved. They've got one of our planes they shot down in 1953. Every kid in the country has to go see it in a museum.
Oh yeah, really?
No, they have to go see it in a museum.
Really?
It draws more people than the Stegosaurus. Wait, there's one more tape.
I don't know where we get these fucking tapes from, by the way.
We'll get somebody to translate it. What was that?
We are such fucking children. I can't get it.
And John Liu, who works here in the city as a controller.
I don't know.
He's going to be knocking on your door, Junolari.
He's going to be Twittering us. You racist assholes. You know,
yeah, there were people.
Here I am defending homosexuality. I'm making fun of
I know.
The guys who.
You're an enigma, Junolari.
I'm an enigma wrapped inside a very ignorant riddle.
But would you defend an Asian gay man?
I would defend anybody who actually would put chopsticks up my ass like that. It's fantastic.
Is that what the doctor used to part your cheeks?
Oh, my God. Oh, yes. With those like little prods that they use to hold things open. So, oh, yeah.
Well, we did very good surgery for you.
Yes.
This is very good surgery.
Yes. Yes. Cocks out, Judolarium.
Stop playing that tape, Phil. Cocks out.
Cocks out.
Here comes the midges. Wow, wow.
Drop your socks and grab your cocks. Oh, wasn't that the opposite in Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
Drop your cocks and grab your socks.
I got it
backwards. But my way was more delicious.
Yours is a delicious gay way because of your Greek history. Did they brag about that too? Invented fucking people in the ass. Be very proud of yourselves.
We invented buggering.
You know who else is very proud?
What's that?
Of his heritage?
Who's that?
The Republican, one congressman, Republican.
Oh, this asshole from Alaska.
From Alaska. You're already calling him an asshole.
What else am I going to call him?
Our glorious leader. Don Young, I believe.
All right. Now, this is just devolving.
Okay. This ties in with a recent thing that we found out about AP, that one of their executive editors.
By AP, we're talking about the Associated Press.
Yeah, yes, or anal penetration. Kathleen Carroll, one of the executive editors, wrote on a blog that they're no longer going to use illegal when referring to illegal aliens.
Illegal immigrants.
Immigrants. Yes, that's right. Oh, are they keeping it when they use it?
I guess. I don't know.
All right. So they're dropping that. They said that, you know, she went into like a whole thing.
Right.
It's stylistically, it doesn't work. And, you know, it's new.
How else are you going to fucking refer to these people?
Well, as Don Young, the Alaska congressman said, his father owned a ranch.
Yes.
And they used to employ 50 to 60 wetbacks.
What?
Wetbacks.
What?
Beaners, border.
What? Stop. No, no. Stop.
He's calling them.
Oh, no.
Hey.
No.
What is that?
No. No.
No? No good?
No. Listen, the story was this congressman.
Gay people getting married is one thing.
What? No.
Again.
No.
Stop it.
No. Listen, the problem here was.
Don't hit that tape, Phil. Hey, Phil.
Okay, Phil. Look. Forget about it, Phil. But here.
It was good stuff. What do you think about this young character?
I can't get over the fact that you're still blaming Phil for
I can't, every time he does this with his finger, you can't see it at home. He waves his finger in the air like he's going to.
Like what? Like he's circling somebody's asshole? You just made this swirly motion.
Are you sure you're not a favorite gay manager?
What? Whoa. Okay.
That's enough.
What do I think? Okay, what was your question again? I'm sorry.
Young.
Oh, goddamn, my head hurts after all that laughing. This is unbelievable.
It's from all your homosexual references.
Pent up homosexuality.
It is. You're just repressed. You need cock. Now, look, I want to know what you think of this guy.
In all honesty.
Are you getting a tattoo of him?
I'm sending him $20 for his campaign. No, listen. In all honesty, guys like this, what's his name? Don Young, guys like Aiken down south who said that a woman who, you know, chooses to get raped, whatever the fuck she said, can't get pregnant when she's raped or whatever. Look, nobody likes ignorant assholes less than I do. Ignorance is horrible. And when I see it come out of my own party, you know how I feel? Not to presume that I'm as great as this guy ever was, but William F. Buckley. Judo Larium, you remember good old Bill Buckley?
A hero of mine.
Yeah. One of the things that a lot of people credit him with, I should say a lot of right-wingers, a lot of conservatives credited Buckley with, was that he worked very hard to take conservatism and remove the stigma of racism, of intolerance, and of, you know, racial hatred.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the first things he did when he became head of, like, the conservative party here in New York, he purged it of all the anti-Semites and the bigots and a few of those wonderful Albert
But anyway, my point is that he made it a point of saying, you can be conservative without being an ignorant fool. You can be conservative without being a bigot and a racist, okay? Yeah. And just because you take a principled stand that may or may not disproportionately affect minorities, that it wasn't due to racism. It was standing on principle. Right. So you ask me, how do I feel about this guy? What's his name? Don Young from Alaska. who refers to wetbacks and whatnot, and not in obviously a joking manner, like the bit we just went through. What do I feel like? I feel like doing violence against this asshole. Really? Not that I ever would. But my point is that guys like this, when they come from your own party, are like when you find, if you're a cop, that you find out you've got a bad cop on the force.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's twice as bad.
Yeah.
In other words, this could be some ignorant asshole on the street. I wouldn't have this reaction.
I wonder if he just doesn't know any better.
Well, no, not at that stage. I mean, he's a grown man. He's in politics. He's in Washington. Even if he grew up with the word wetback being used. See, look, there's a difference when you find someone who's 80 years old, who grew up in a different time, like you say, that you're seeming to say, who uses words that were part of the language of growing up with them. I've said this often enough. My mother still hates Turks. Okay?
That's right. You told
when she grew up in Greece, the two countries, if they weren't physically at war, were just as good as being at war. Just like, say, you know, Catholic Ireland with the British.
With the Protestant.
Or with the Protestant counties, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not technically at war, I guess, but they hated each other for years. And if you ran into an Irishman and a certain Brit from a certain age, they could never get along. You kind of excuse it. They grew up and they're victims of their circumstance.
Right.
There is no way anybody in Alaska is so ingrained with the word wetback that as a congressman, he can't learn not to say it.
I got to tell you, one of the first things that popped into my head is this guy's on a ranch in Alaska.
Right.
How many Mexicans, or he's referring to like these people who were hired.
Right.
How many of them are actually up in Alaska?
Well, that's my point.
He goes, we had like 50 or 60.
Yeah.
That must have been all of them.
You're right. But that's my point. As a grown man in Congress, he should know better.
I know.
He should know better.
See what the common denominator is. And I agree with you. I'm surprised a little bit what you said. But
what?
See, but that's it. See, Don Young, Chambliss with the comment about the gays.
Right.
One or two other Republicans making comments about rape. And, you know, you wonder about these people.
It shoots your party in the foot. It shoots your cause in the foot. And listen, Saxe Chambliss, that comment he made, if he tried to come around and tell me that he was trying to be funny in some weird way, that he just doesn't care one way or another about gay marriage, I could buy that on some weird level.
Right.
Even Aiken, on some level, I think I knew what he was trying to say. But at the same time, to be so, if you're so pigheaded that you can't even acknowledge that what you said may have been offensive to someone, even if you meant no offense, that to me is the height of ignorance. That's why I get so upset at people on the left. They think that anything that falls out of their pie hole is gospel truth.
But you do realize anybody listening to the show might say that ignorance applies to what you said before about gay people. Not that it is, but I'm saying some people listening.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then I would say that I am, since I know what I'm saying, I would then say I have failed to communicate it properly.
Okay.
In other words, that's not what this guy is saying. This guy very simply said wetback, right? Now, if he was an isolated rancher somewhere in Alaska who got picked up on a microphone calling people wetbacks, if he came back and said, listen, that's a word I grew up with. That's the word we use here in Alaska. I am not discriminating against anyone, blah, blah, blah. I could even buy that to some extent. Not that I would necessarily, but I could understand it. But this is a congressman who spends just as much time in Washington probably as he does in Alaska. And he's trying to tell me that it never occurred to him that wetback might be a derogatory term. And if nothing else, show the brains not to say it when there's microphones around.
Yeah.
And then he defended his words. Like, he didn't even come out with an act of contrition, so to speak, and say, look, I'm really sorry I said wetback. Like, not, and even that wouldn't have been good enough, but at least it would have been a start.
Yeah.
What's he trying to defend at this point?
Also, it's a stupid admission, because if you're admitting that you have 50 or 60 of these people working, they're probably working, they're probably there illegally.
Right.
Sorry, Kathleen Collin, but they're probably there illegally. You probably hired illegal workers.
Probably.
You know, your old man was probably doing something he shouldn't have done by hiring them.
Right. And that's my point. Now, you brought up a good point. People may say, well, you know, like you said, people may think, if they listen to my comments earlier about gay marriage, that they may think I'm ignorant. The difference is that I'm trying to put across a point of principle. In other words, that I could tolerate something without accepting it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if I'm trying to put that across, and I know that I'm not discriminating, my point is not to discriminate. I'm not advocating discrimination. As a matter of fact, I've gone on record several times to saying I hate coercion in any form, especially from the government, but also from people.
You're saying that intellectually, you can accept, you're okay with, this is what they want to do, they're getting married, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Right.
But you don't have to accept that you can't accept that it's the same union as you and your wife.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
And that's a matter of opinion.
That's, you know what?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's actually, I'm okay with it. I don't agree with it, but I'm okay.
Yeah. And that's where we agree to disagree.
Right.
Another good example of that is, and I just went through with it this morning, believe it or not, is these fucking Jehovah's Witnesses. The Watchtower freaks that come to your door every Sunday.
Oh,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would never tell you that they don't have the right to be who they are.
Right.
That I would deny them their religious freedom and their religious practice. But God damn it, don't wake me up at 9 in the morning when I've been up all night working.
Yeah.
And knock on my door and make me come to my door just in time to slam it back in your face. Because I've told you 100 times not to come to my fucking door.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if you kind of put it in the context of that, where I say, look, you have your rights, do what you want to do, but don't bother me about it. Don't try to convince me that your way is right.
Well, that's always been one of my
So hopefully,
major irritations with religion, period.
So hopefully,
people who are religious, they never are satisfied just with believing what they believe.
Right.
They've got to evangelize the world.
And proselytize.
Fuck off.
Yeah. And that's exactly a Judo Larium. So hopefully you'll accept my explanation as to why I am the way that I am, and it's not born of ignorance.
Just so you know, I accept everything that you said. That's fine, the way you said it. You can tolerate, but you can't accept. But what I don't understand is you talk so much about cock.
Yes.
You talk so much about in the ass.
Delicious.
You talk about, there has to be something there. Because, for instance, I'm straight. I support gay. Yeah. I don't talk about it at all. The only time I have to talk about it is when you mention it, the doctor fucked me in the head instead of actually injecting me with, hallucinogen or whatever.
Do you know what it is, though?
There's too many
syllables. I can honestly say that I could joke about it because I don't have a gay bone in my body.
Yeah.
And most importantly, the bone that counts the most. My cock has no interest in a man's anus. Yes. And I think that comes from a confidence in what you are. I mean, if you really want to psychoanalyze it, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
It's I have no doubt in my mind.
I'm sure somebody would say it actually shows that deep down he really wants some cock.
You know what's funny, though? That is actually the liberal PR machine.
Yes, I know that.
That's the homosexual PR machine. Yeah. They keep using the word homophobia. that if you're anti-homosexual in any aspect, you're homophobic, meaning you're afraid of something.
Right.
Which is, again, which is totally wrong.
No, that's the wrong word.
And the other thing is that if you're against homosexuality in any way, shape, or form, it's because you deep down are yourself homosexual.
Wish that somebody was taking your temperature with their cock.
You realize that nothing else, we don't apply that logic to anything else. Like, in other words, if I came to you and said, Judah Lariam, I'm really against coercion. I'm against government coercion. Nobody says, well, that's because you harbor this deep desire to have the government come tell you what to do and take three quarters of your money. No, we don't apply it to that. If you say I'm against murder, you don't say, well, deep down, that's because you want to fucking put a bullet between someone's eyes. The only thing we apply that logic to, Judah Lariam, is the love of God.
Taking it in the ass. And listening to tapes from North Korea. Prove a warmongering midget is on the march.
Who? Oh, him.
Did you listen to the part of the tape where he got like really excited?
He's
like,
yeah.
Phil, one more.
Wait. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh,
Jesus. It sounds like you ran out of breath on that one, Judah Lariam.
It's a tape. Big Fat John is not ready for prime time. Okay. Oh. You know what this is like? This is like when Chevy Chase used to do the news on SNL back in the 70s.
Oh, don't compare me to that funny asshole.
No, wait a minute. And he would do the news, and like sometimes when he had to do like a reporter's voice, he would just go like this, and they'd come back on camera, and you'd see him doing it. John just keeps giving up that it's me instead of playing that it's a tape. Douche.
Well, listen, if we were back at Sirius and we had the proper equipment and the proper time to prepare, then, yeah, maybe I could go along with the gag.
What?
All right, gentlemen. This is starting to sound like that TV game show from Japan where everybody like ends up getting punched in the nuts and dumped into a river.
I don't know about that, but I want the president to tell that Godzilla extra to stop threatening us with nuclear missiles. Grow some balls, Obama.
Oh, no. All right. Listen, I can't take it anymore. Judah Lariam, my sides are hurting too much. I think I may have to take a shit as well. So,
Not in this studio.
I'm going to go foul up the studio bathroom. I'm giving you fair warning if you need to go take a piss or a shit before I get in there because I'm going to destroy that toilet. I don't care.
I'm going to listen to the rest of this.
I've got
tapes.
At least a 2-foot cable in me waiting to come out. I've got to be honest with you.
Cable news.
Yeah, take this cable. There you go. Anyway, all right, Judah Lariam. Until next week. Join us again on the White Riot Show, where we will again delve into the deep philosophical issues which beleaguer mankind. Yep. All right. Until next week, this has been Big Fat John.
White Riot Show, Judah Lariam.
Peace.
Join us every week at www.whiteriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Lariam. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. I've been drinking heavily. Whoa.